from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
I did some research last night because I knew that we would be talking about the Oscars. So I sat down, it's on Showtime, and watched the movie that swept and got all the awards last night. What's it called? Everybody Elsewhere. I don't know what it's called, but it was...
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, there you go. I watched the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And I will...
Did you love it?
I will give all of that opinion coming up at 11:30 when we get ready to talk about all of the Oscars and what happened.
Okay. Because that is the movie that I feel like I need to watch.
Okay.
Maybe even twice from what I'm told.
Okay. Okay. Sometimes people don't get a second chance to do it again.
Okay.
So, right now, let's get to it. Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Garden Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves, just really go at it.
I got to tail back on our conversation with Matt Markovich from 10:30 and talk about the legislators in Olympia who are coming for your free stuff when you travel. If passed, a bill in Olympia would outlaw travel-sized bottles of the shampoo, the body wash, the soap, etc., and hotels would have to provide 6-ounce bottles or above. G. Scott, what say you? Is it time to get rid of the travel bottles to get rid of plastic waste, at least from that stream in our state?
Absolutely it is. Because before this is one of those, especially when I go to Las Vegas. Whenever I go to Las Vegas, there's right there, you know what I'm talking about, there's the Walgreens that's right there on the corner, that's right across from the Cosmo. That is where I go, and I stop off at that store. When I go there, I get some water bottles for the room, something to drink for the room.
So you don't have to spend $10
right,
for one bottle.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Get some chips.
Some snacks.
And I always get soap during that time, right? But now, having hotels do that for you is fantastic because, Ursula, I said it before and I'll say it again. Them little old bottles wasn't cleaning my body. That's not even a left butt cheek worse. You know what I mean? So it's not cleaning my body. So it's a waste of time anyway, and then TSA and them be tripping. You know what I mean? Like 3.7. Come on now. You know, you need some soap. And then for you ladies out there, the shampoo. Then Chef tried to tell me, because I told the experience how the other day I was mad at a hotel in Bellevue. I go to get in the shower and the soap, there was no soap in there. So I was forced to use shampoo. And I used shampoo, went downstairs, complained. That hotel gave me 10,000 points. It was nice of them. And then Chef tried to tell me that shampoo and body soap, body wash is the same.
No, I told you that.
Oh.
I concurred.
Yeah.
It is basically the same.
No, I know so. Conditioner's a little bit different.
It smells different. And it lathers different.
Well, what I'm trying to say is you generally don't have to. I mean, you can use body wash on your hair if it's not on a regular basis, if you know. So
how about shampoo on your
Shampoo on your body, you can totally use that.
No, you cannot.
Absolutely.
So you don't use a washcloth, do you?
What? Well, you're kidding. No, I'm not putting my business out there.
Okay.
Wait, how did you jump to that conclusion?
Because I don't trust people that go in the shower and that use their hands.
Oh, I do that all the time. Gee.
How in the world can y'all just use your hands? Do you need a little something to scrub it up? You either leave the loofah sponge or a washcloth. How are y'all going in there with your hands?
You know what happens with those loofahs? They get really grimy after a while.
Oh, yeah, and so you
it's a bacterial colony.
Yeah, it becomes a bacteria. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm good with that. And I'm good with not, you know, I get plenty clean.
With the hands.
But yeah.
How?
God gave us hands, and I use them. Okay, but in any case, as far as those little bottles, I can't disagree with G. Because we're talking about, you know, helping the environment, and they are getting smaller. It's just like your chips. The other day, I was looking at that bag of chips that Mark got, and it was family size, and it looked like for a family of one half person. The sizes are getting smaller and smaller. And the same goes for those little, I mean, they're becoming tiny one-squirt bottles, and it is is a waste. And initially I complained because I'll admit I was one of those that kind of enjoyed when you go and stay at a nice hotel to take home a few of the bottles of shampoo and conditioner, put it in your guest bathroom and use it that way. But it's such a waste.
Okay. A lot of divorced homes because of them bottles.
Yeah, I don't know. It's such a waste, but there are a lot of other things that are wasteful. And I don't know. Personally, I really like enjoy bringing back a little travel size bottle or 10 from the hotel. If I want to be reminded of the lemongrass and nice verbena shampoo that I had that I can't buy in any local stores. I mean, plus, they're still selling travel size bottles in the grocery store. They're selling them in Bartels, etc. You can buy tiny plastic bottles of anything that you want. I don't know that this solves that big of a problem. I know that Matt said the hotel industry wants some kind of a tax cut in order to put in soap dispensers and shampoo dispensers in their facilities because they said it's going to cost them $17 million. Yeah. However, to that I say absolutely not, because you're going to be saving a ton of money over time by not buying travel size bottles of everything and just having a giant jug and refilling stuff. So no, we should not indemnify you for the upfront cost of something that's going to save you over time. Generally, yeah, it's probably going to be fine. The world's not going to fall if we get rid of travel size
shampoo
bottles.
But initially I was complaining, especially since it always seemed like those bigger containers, you know, that you pump and pump and pump and get one tiny squirt. It always seemed like they had really cheap stuff in there.
Now you don't know.
And by the way, I want to give a request to the hotels. Can we get better on the lotion? Can we get better? Some of us need that lotion. And when we come in, you give us a little, you know, we're going to call downstairs. We're going to ask for a whole bunch of lotions because they don't give you that much. Just get the whole big pumper going. All right. That's all I got.
I'm sure many of you have heard about these new obesity drugs that are sweeping the nation. Many millions of Americans are using them. They go by names like Wegovy or Ozempic. And there's some concern about what would happen if Medicare was allowed to pay for those drugs for weight loss. Right now, Medicare cannot cover the cost of anti-obesity prescriptions. Apparently, it would cost about $27 billion to taxpayers if we were on the hook for Wegovy, which can cost about $1,500 per month. My question, should we be covering these under Medicare, G. Scott, even though it's going to cost a ton of money?
Yep, we should. Because obesity, as we know and we're learning, leads to so many things. And we don't even have time on the show to talk about what they lead to. And this is an opportunity to address just that. Ursula, you would definitely, if you're attacking this, the obesity problem that we have in this country, we would also save on other medications that people have to be on because of that as well. So I'm for it.
This is a raging debate right now on social media because you're talking about drugs that have not been FDA approved for weight loss, right?
Right.
I mean, so that's the question.
Correct.
It's not because there are obesity drugs or, you know, to help with weight loss that have been approved by the FDA and are covered by insurance. But these are drugs that have been proven highly effective and are being used off-label. And I would say I would be in favor of them being covered because essentially you're waiting for, I mean, drug use off-label is very common. And in this case, you know, G, you talked about what does obesity lead to? I mean, we're talking about diabetes, heart disease, stroke, you know, joint pain. There's just a whole myriad of issues that you're dealing with when you're dealing with obesity, which is, in my opinion, and more doctors believe this way, a chronic disease.
Absolutely.
And so I would be absolutely in favor. But my question, too, is why are these drugs costing like $1,500 out of pocket or $1,000 a month? I think that's outrageous. And I get that these pharmaceutical companies, you know, have made an investment, et cetera, but you cannot tell me that they really need to be costing $1,000 and $1,500 per month for four injections.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, it costs that much, though, because they can charge whatever they want. I mean, one way to solve this, at least when it comes to Medicare, would be to have Medicare be able to actually negotiate drug prices,
yes,
which they can't do right now. Now, when it comes to whether it should cover it in the first place, I think the reason why Medicare is forbidden by law from paying for anti-obesity prescriptions is because I think there's this outdated belief that anti-obesity medications are meant to treat a cosmetic condition, right? Which obesity is not strictly a cosmetic condition. It's not meant, I mean, yes, like you listed all the reasons why we should cover the cost of it. However, you got to fix the off-label issue. Just have the FDA or whatever drug regulation company, organization approve it for weight loss and then start paying for it. However, Medicare also does not cover Viagra or other erectile dysfunction drugs, which I would argue are not strictly, say, cosmetic. It's also a quality of life issue. So Medicare doesn't cover a lot of drugs. So if we want to start covering things because, hey, it improves my quality of life and improves my mental health when we're talking about men with ED, it's an important part of my sense of self, etc. Why not include drugs like that? I mean, should we pay for Viagra?
Frankly, I would be in favor of it. Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about your mental well-being, your physical, your emotional well-being. That would, in my opinion, should be covered.
I also want to, because I know when these topics come up, the easy thing for a lot of people to say is, well, you just got to eat better, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I want to really talk about that part of it. It's tough, right? It's really tough to, you have a choice to make. We know what the increase at the grocery store has been. We know we talk about wages and all those things. So when a parent goes to the grocery store, and I'm telling you from personal experience, when a parent goes to the grocery store, they have a choice. They want to buy some fruit or some fruit roll-ups. What do you think's cheaper? Well, it's going to be the fruit roll-ups for the kids. It's not going to be the fruit. Sometimes they wish that they could eat healthier, but it is expensive to do that. And one last thing, when I was younger, for some reason, I don't know why, every time I went to the grocery store, my mom or my dad, I always wanted them, I mean, I'm being serious, I always paid attention. Like, I want some chicken, I used to always go and pick out the chicken. That was my job. Have you looked at chicken today compared to what it looked like in the 80s?
Yes.
The chicken breast did not look like this in the 80s. Hello? There's something inside the chicken. That what did the chicken in the 80s? I'm not even being funny right now.
I'm being
really serious.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
The chickens don't supposed to look like that. So when you start talking about what we looked like in the 80s and in the 90s or the 70s, just remember, our food looked different too.
Okay, wait a minute. I got to mention something. Tom in the 206 is bringing up something that affects so many of our listeners. He says, Ursula, my blood thinner and asthma meds cost $1,400 per month on my Medicare supplement insurance, so I buy it from Mauritius. You talk about people who are, you know, maybe on limited income or, you know, getting up there in years, and you're having to deal with medications that are not covered, $1,400 per month.
I'd like to take this moment to remind folks that both Senators Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell voted against a law that would have made it legal for Americans to import prescription drugs from countries like Canada in order to get lower costs. And the reason that they cited is, we don't know if people are going to be getting a consistent product or not if they order it from Canadians. That was probably one of the most disappointing votes I've seen by both our Washington senators. Mm. All right, let's move on, though, Ursula, because I need to ask a question of you. Our esteemed elder on the show, if I can refer to you that way.
Hold up.
That was inflammatory. Well, look, I can't ask veteran?
Hey.
Is veteran better?
Hey, Ernie and Kent, I just want you to know I'm off the hook after what I said. Wow. Okay,
so CNN had this article about how the word ma'am is apparently polarizing for some folks. Some people say, hey, it's nice. Others say, never ever. So, Ursula, can I call you ma'am? Ma'am? Is that offensive?
It's not offensive to me. And just last week, and I told you about, we had some guests from Ruston, Louisiana. Both my friend's son and daughter referred to me as ma'am. And my husband is Sir. Mm-hmm. And they, of course, they say it with their Southern drawl. And I just found it charming as heck. And I know that that's, they were raised to speak to people who are older than them, to refer to them as Sir and Ma'am. Right. And it's meant as a sign of respect. Of course, why would I take offense to that? But I, so I, you know, Googled and looked into why. I mean, it, ma'am is generally considered to be a polite term, mm-hmm. but it can be the opposite. Apparently, it comes from the French word for my lady, madame, which in English turned into madam, then ma'am by the 1600s. And madam is traditionally used to refer to a married woman, and unmarried women were called mademoiselle. Apparently, that was banned. That word was banned by the French government in 2012. So this is all news to me. Mm. Wasn't there a Mademoiselle magazine? In any case, I don't find it offensive, but apparently some people do.
Yeah, y'all messed it up for me in the Pacific Northwest. Basically, just the West Coast in general. My father, you know, obviously military and all that, he was very into sir, ma'am. That's how mm-hmm. he spoke to everyone. And me, attending military school for so long, I came out and I was still, I was sir, ma'am all the time. Sometimes I still have it from time
you
to time.
You do sometimes when we interview people.
Yeah, but y'all in the Pacific Northwest had messed it up, because every time I try ma'am with some of y'all, don't call me ma'am. Don't call me ma'am. Don't call me ma'am. What?
Is it because it makes you feel old?
I don't know. So from here on out, what's up, Lois? Oh,
yeah, I guess some people picture a woman past her prime.
Didn't Michelle Yeoh have something to say about that at the Oscars last night? That no woman has ever passed her prime?
Yes, I love that.
Look at these text cards. Nikki says, ma'am is obnoxious. 206 says, can't stand ma'am. Lolo says, manners are going... Oh, well, Lolo, she said, manners are going downhill. And somebody else says, it makes me feel so old. What?
I know younger women that say, don't call me ma'am. That's my mother, not me.
You know, there was a time when I would... When someone called me Mrs., my legal last name.
Yeah.
I'd be like, no, just call me Ursula.
See? Y'all messed it up on the West Coast, in the Midwest.
So I guess I think I just find it charming when someone from the South says ma'am.
To this day, it's still Mr. and Mrs., all of that.
If someone from the South calls me sir, I assume they're being respectful. If someone from the Pacific Northwest calls me sir, I assume they're being sarcastic. And I'm being mocked.
Okay, sir.
So, yeah, exactly.
So you are admitting that here in the Pacific Northwest,
yeah.
manners is not a thing.
We just don't do honorifics. I don't call you Mr. Scott.
Time out.
I don't call you sir.
Time out. I ain't never in my life heard honorifics used. Is that a real term?
Yes, it is. Those are...
Oh, if you see me on the stream, I'm standing up. That damn chef done did it again. Honorifics. What in the world is this?
Titles.
Honorifics. Coming up next on the Gia and Ursula Show, there's going to be no honorifics that's talking about the Oscars. We're going to get into talking about the Oscars and the winners, and was it better than last year? Don't take much. We'll do that next. Gia and Ursula.
G and Ursula Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on this Monday morning. Did you watch the Oscars last night, G?
No, just the red carpets, because I wanted to see the fits.
Ah,
I mean,
okay.
What they were wearing.
Okay, so I did watch like the last half of the telecast, and right. history was made during this year's Academy Awards. Thankfully, it was a violence-free event. In his opening monologue, host Jimmy Kimmel actually referenced last year's show, of course, when Will Smith slapped the host Chris Rock for making a bad joke about his wife.
We want you to feel safe, and most importantly, we want me to feel safe. So we have strict policies in place. If anyone in this theater commits an act of violence at any point during the show, you will be awarded the Oscar for Best Actor and permitted to give a 19-minute long speech. No, but seriously, the Academy has a crisis team in place. If anything unpredictable or violent happens during the ceremony, just do what you did last year. Nothing.
Okay, so the big winner last night was the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once. And it sounds like you now know what the movie's about.
Terrible.
Why?
It was not good. It was not good. I mean, it took a while and I kept asking Lillian, I'm like, is this good? And she's like, oh, no, it's really confusing. I'm like, all right, I'm glad I'm not the only one. And then, you know, towards the end, you start to really, it starts to come together. You start to figure out like, oh, you know, what if you would have done this at this time? And what would your life be different if you had done this and did this different action? And then it's also kind of an...
See, I would love that kind of movie. I'm going to go watch it.
Okay, that's the thing. Me too. I love the premise of that. Yes. I love especially talking about kind of what you go through as parents with kids. I love all of that.
Uh-huh.
It's how they get to it was driving me nuts.
Okay.
I'm talking, yeah. Anyway, I'm talking about earpiece, Bluetooth. It's just, man.
So you feel like you have to almost watch it again to kind of get the gist of it.
Kind of like drying my clothes at home. I got to do it twice because right now my dryer's tripping.
Hey, remember on Friday you were saying, well, what do they even vote on? So and maybe that's it, the complexity of the film, because it was a clear winner. It won 7 different awards. Michelle Yeoh was the first Asian American to win Best Actress, and it was for that very same movie.
For all the little boys and girls who look like me watching tonight, this is a beacon of hope and possibilities. This is proof that dreams dream big and dreams do come true.
And I love that she added afterwards, she said, and ladies, don't let anyone tell you that you are ever past your prime. She's 60 years old, winning the Oscar.
I love that.
This year. I know. I thought her, yeah. First of all, I loved her dress, but I also loved the fact that you know, she had a chance to win and she was favored to win.
Sure.
This movie was favored to win. Jamie Lee Curtis took home Best Supporting Actress for this same movie.
My mother and my father were both nominated for Oscars in different categories. I just won an Oscar.
Okay, and I know that you thought she was the clear winner.
What? look at Jamie Lee. I love, how can you not love Jamie Lee Curtis? I love her. And by the way, I'm happy for Jamie Lee Curtis. So what I'm going to say has nothing to do with that. But if you see this movie, this whole, or what's it called again, Chef?
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, it's tongue twister for me. If you see this movie, you're going to walk away with, how in the world did Jamie Lee Curtis win that award? When the daughter that didn't get any award, she was incredible. I mean, really good in this movie. But Jamie Lee Curtis, I love you, but I don't know about that.
But and that is where, you know, you have to ask, what is it that they're voting on? It's the Academy. It's people who are members. It's, you know, what exactly are they looking for? Is this one of those? Well, she hasn't won in a long time. She, you know, might as well get one for this movie that is so favored by everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Then the one that I really enjoyed, I haven't even watched the movie, but just looking at his reaction, Brendan Fraser winning Best Actor for The Whale. And he truly looked so stunned that he won. And that's the movie where he is playing like a 600-pound father who has an estranged relationship with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one that I'm like, okay, I want to watch that.
I do
one
kinda,
too.
I want to see that. But Ursula, I need you to watch this movie.
Okay, I'm going to.
I need you to watch it, and I need you to come back on and look. There's people that say they loved it. Michael Medved did not like it, Chef. He was on Friday. He told us he did not like it. I'm in the same category. I just did not think the movie was good. The fact that it got Best Picture is like, really?
Best Picture and 6 other awards.
Again, I'm happy for the individual success, like Best Actors. Oh, that's great. But Best Picture? I don't know about that.
See, for someone like me, though, the only movie that I watched out of this whole thing was the Maverick.
Same.
Top Gun Maverick. And I think it won like some, was it cinematography or some other, but it, I don't think it won any of the big awards.
Right. I've been told not to even bring up Maverick again in this conversation. That lets me know how much I don't understand how this is judged. This is last week. Somebody was telling me.
Oh, because it was just it's a very popular movie, but cinematically it probably doesn't have a whole lot of
plot holes. Maybe,
yeah,
a little unrealistic.
I mean, guys, this movie, was it a good movie? No. It just wasn't a good movie. The thought, the concept of it was cool. The way they get to it, I'm like, man, did you really have to do all of this stuff? I'm telling you. How about this? I think that this movie, and I don't know how it got all the great reviews that it did, but it did. This is one of those, I would not have watched it as long as I did if I didn't know it was up for all these awards. So that kept me going. Or else I'd have turned that thing off after about 20, 30 minutes.
So basically it's The Emperor Has No Clothes, but it still got the honorific.
Yeah. Yeah.
He put that in there again. Oh, Top Gun won the Best Sound Oscar.
Yo, they had Bluetooth earpieces, Ursula.
That would have gotten your vote right there.
All right. Coming up next, your text messages, your feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. You guys are listening to the Gene Ursula Show. It's Gene and Ursula, everybody. Well, a lot of lessons been learned today. No more sirs, no more ma'ams, no more sirs and ma'ams, no honorifics.
I think it's still okay if you are from the South, and some of us think it's still charming.
Oh, so if you're from the South and maybe have a southern draw. Oh, I knew you was going to say that, Ursula.
And you ma'am. So thank you, ma'am.
It's okay then, huh? Yeah. At least you're being honest.
You can also get away with calling someone sugar if you're from the South. Hey, sugar.
And it's just me. Okay? Right. It's just me. I don't get offended, but many people do.
If I'm at a restaurant, mm-hmm, and the server says to me, okay, hon, or okay, sugar, that means that food is about to be fire.
Yeah.
That food about to be good.
Yep.
They call you that? You know what time it is. All right, Ursula, what you got on the text messages?
Okay, on daylight saving time, Kyle, yeah, in the 206 says, keep daylight saving year round. We get more light at night during the summer.
425 says, you guys want daylight savings time year round? Do you really want the sun to rise at 9 a.m. in the winter?
I'm okay with that. Okay, on the topic of should you call women ma'am,
uh-huh,
Cheryl says, ma'am is fine. It's a sign of respect, nothing to get wound up about. If you get your panties in a twist about ma'am, you just want to unload on someone, and this is an excuse. I've seen it happen.
253 says, I was raised by my parents to call people sir and ma'am. The problem is, a lot of folks thought I was being snide. I stopped.
Eileen in Bremerton says, I'm in my 50s. Everyone who personally does not know will get yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Oh, that I personally don't know. No, sir, no, ma'am. When my patients state, don't call me that, then I return with an answer. Oh, sorry, my dad raised me well. I remind them it's a sign of respect, which this country has lost.
I said earlier today that I don't trust anybody who changes their clocks immediately. 253 says, I agree with G. I never change my time on the car. It will work itself out in 6 months.
Oh, my God. 253. Are you always late? And by the way, I find this really funny that you feel that way because, gee, how many times do you talk about how much you love to be early? Like one minute, like even 1 second late is way too late for you. But yet you're giving me grief because I changed my clock.
Can I share a secret with you?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to keep it all the way a buck with all y'all. So some of the watches that I do have that are fancy, right? They ain't digital. You feel me? So if you ask me what time it is and I got my watch on, I'm going to dig in my pocket, grab my cell phone and say, it's 11:50. So that's what I'm going to say. I don't pay attention to the clocks everywhere. Only clock I pay attention to is my cell phone, and that's why I'm always on time.
CG, you don't have to change the time on your microwave if you never clear the remaining time from it.
You know, so, and by the way,
3 seconds on there.
Someone text in or send some pictures on our Facebook page of remaining time on the microwave. Ursula, when you put something in the microwave, you clear it all. You don't leave any seconds on there, do you?
Oh, I've been known to leave some seconds. Just because I know it bugs you.
Does it bug Long Live Mark?
If it does, he doesn't mention it.
Oh. Right.
Okay, on the Silicon Valley bank failure, Todd from Linwood says, the banks did not pay enough to the FDIC to back this bailout. So where is that money coming from? If not taxpayers, it's a bailout that gives no incentive for a better policy. The working class people in East Palestine feel about this response. Where is their backstop? He's referring to the train derailment in Ohio.
Our good friend Jeff in Body Lake says, how does the president have the power to bail out private banking clients if he can't forgive federally backed student loans?
I don't think you'll see any red states suing to stop this, maybe. Potentially.
Yeah, the five people you need to make friends with in the workplace. Mike in the 360 says the most important person to make friends with at work is the boss. It's always been that way. It'll always be that way. If you're friends with a person who signs your check, you sleep a lot better at night.
Hey, I don't be agreeing with Mike in the 360 at all. He ain't wrong about that. All right, Ursula, Words to Live By brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
And this is a quote from an author, O.G. Mandino, who says, beginning today, treat everyone you meet as if they were going to be not alive by midnight, let's say. Extend to them all the care, the kindness, and understanding you can muster, and do it with no thought of any reward. Your life will never be the same again.
Huh. Good stuff, Ursula.
Love you.
Yeah, love you back. Good stuff. Chef, good to have you back, bro. All right. Nick, why are you in that mood? Chill mood today. What you got for us, Nick?
It's a chill Monday, but for some reason I feel extra groggy today, and I think it's from yesterday's hour taken away. Which folks in the office can you schmooze to get it back? Is it the boss man or seasoned vet who takes no smack? And if there's no return in time, I need an extra vacation. Just no hotels with small shampoo bottles, only soap dispenser stations. Welcome to the Hotel And when you lather up the body, please no barehanded stunts. You need a harder scrub for cleaning everything and everywhere all at once.
Oh! Did you see how he just did that?
I did.
You heard
I
that?
I did.
Ernie and Kent said, gee, I cannot believe you asked Ursula that.
I know. Thank you. Ernie and Kent has my back.
Full transparency.
Okay. By the way... Yeah, it was supposed to be bare minimum Monday.
Oh.
I think we gave...
bare minimum effort?
Yeah. I think we did better than that.
Well, you answered bare minimum when it comes to the soap part.
Correct. Don't you use a washcloth?
Oh, man. Oh, time to go. The afternoon show comes up next with Jack Stein and Spike O'Neill.
Right.
You guys got to stick around, stay for that. But as for us, we'll be back tomorrow about 9 o'clock, about 9:06 to be exact. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And as always, be kind.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.